Chapter 13. When these issues of public honor and efficient democratic administration have begun to move towards a definite solution, the community will be in a position to extend the operation of the new methods towards a profounder revolution, the control of private property. We are all socialists nowadays, and it is needless, therefore, to argue here at any length to establish the fact that beyond quite personal belongings all property is the creation of society, and in reality no more than an administrative device. At present, in spite of some quite hideous and mischievous local aspects, the institution of property, even in land and the shares of quasi-public businesses, probably gives as efficient a method of control, and even it may be a more efficient method of control than any that could be devised to replace it under existing conditions. We have no public bodies, and no methods of check and control sufficiently trustworthy to justify extensive expropriations. Even the municipalization of industries needs to go slowly until municipal areas have been brought more into conformity with the conditions of efficient administration. Areas too cramped, and areas that overlap spell waste and conflicting authorities, and premature municipalization in such areas will lead only to the final triumph of the private company. Political efficiency must precede socialism. Footnote. See Appendix I. Right bracket. But there can be no doubt that the spectacle of irresponsible property is a terribly demoralizing force in the development of each generation. It is idle to deny that property, both in Great Britain and America, works out into a practical repudiation of that equality political democracy so eloquently asserts. There is a fatalistic submission to inferiority on the part of an overwhelming majority of those born poor. They hold themselves cheap in countless ways, and they accept as natural the use of wealth for wanton pleasure and purposes absolutely mischievous. They despair of effort in the public service, and find their only hope in gambling, sharp greedy trading, or in base acquiescences to the rich. The good new Republican can only regard our present system of property as a terribly unsatisfactory expedient, and seek with all his power to develop a better order to replace it. There are certain lines of action in this matter that cannot but be beneficial, and it is upon these that the new Republican will, no doubt, go. One excellent thing, for example, would be to insist that beyond the limits of a reasonable amount of personal property, the community is justified in demanding a much higher degree of efficiency in the property holder than in the case of the common citizen, to require him or her to be not only sane but capable, equal mentally and bodily to a great charge. The heir to a great property should possess a satisfactory knowledge of social and economic science, and should have studied with a view to his great responsibilities. The age of 21 is scarcely high enough for the management of a great estate, and to raise the age of free administration for the owners of great properties, and to specify a superannuation age would be a wise and justifiable measure. Footnote. Something of the sort is already secured in France by the power of the Conseil de Famille to expropriate a spendthrift. There should also be a possibility of intervention in the case of maladministration, and a code of offenses habitual drunkenness, for example, assaults of various kinds, offenses that established the fact of unfitness and resulted in deposition, might be drawn up. It might be found desirable in the case of certain crimes and misdemeanors to add to existing penalties the transfer of all real or share properties to trustees. Vigorous confiscation is a particularly logical punishment for the proven corruption of public officers by any property owner or group of property owners. Rich men who bribe are a danger to any state. Beyond the limits of lunacy, it might be possible to define a condition of malignancy or ruthlessness that would justify confiscation. Attempts to form corners in the necessities of life, for example, could be taken as evidence of such a condition. All such measures as this would be far more beneficial than the immediate improvement they would effect in public management. They would infect the whole social body with the sense that property was saturated with responsibility and was in effect a trust, and that would be a good influence upon rich and poor alike. Moreover, as public bodies became more efficient and more trustworthy, the principle already established in British social polity by Sir William Vernon Harcourt's death duties, the principle of whittling great properties at each transfer, might be very materially extended. Every transfer of property might establish a state mortgage for some fraction of the value of that property. The fraction might be small, when the recipient was a public institution, considerable in the case of a son or daughter, and almost all for a distant relative or no kindred at all. By such devices the evil influence of property acquired by mere accidents would be reduced without any great discouragement of energetic, enterprising, and inventive men. And a man ambitious to found a family might still found one, if he took care to marry wisely, and train and educate his children to the level of the position he designed for them. While the new Republican brings such expedients as this to bear upon property from above, there will also be the expedients of the minimum wage, and the minimum standard of life, already discussed in the third of these papers, controlling it from below. Limited in this way, property will resemble a river that once swamped a whole countryside, but has now been banked within its channel. Even when these expedients have been exhaustively worked out, they will fall far short of that abolition of property which is the crude expression of socialism. There is a certain measure of property in a state which involves the maximum of individual freedom. Either above or below that optimum one passes towards slavery. The new Republican is a new Republican, and he tests all things by their effect upon the evolution of man. He is a socialist or an individualist, a free trader or a protectionist, a Republican or a Democrat just so far, and only so far, as these various principles of public policy subserve his greater end. This crude sketch of a possible scheme of honor and privilege, and of an approximation towards the socialization of property will, at any rate, show that in this matter, as in the matter of political control, the alternative of the British system, or the American system does not exhaust human possibilities. There is also the 20th century system, which we new Republicans have to discover and discuss and bring to the test of experience. And for the sake of the education of our children, which is the cardinal business of our lives, we must refuse all convenient legal fictions and underhand ways, and see to it that the system is as true to the reality of life, and to right, and justice as we can, in our light and generation, make it. The child must learn, not only from preacher and parent and book, but from the whole frame and order of life about it, that truth and sound living and service are the only trustworthy ways to either honor or power, and that, save for the unavoidable accidents of life, they are very certain ways. And then he will have a fair chance to grow up neither a smart and hustling cheat, for the American at his worst is no more and no less than that, nor a sluggish disingenuous snob as the Briton too often becomes, but a proud, ambitious, clean-handed, and capable man. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.